Good morning, and welcome to News Briefing, your daily look at the headlines shaping our world. I'm Arjiv.
And I'm Irohi, bringing you the in-depth analysis.
On this day in history, March 31st, back in 1889, the iconic Eiffel Tower was officially opened to the public, becoming a symbol of architectural innovation and a global landmark. A testament to human ingenuity then, and still inspiring today. We've got a packed show for you, covering a range of vital stories from BBC News, Hacker News, NDTV News, US Top News and Analysis, and many other sources. We'll delve into the latest in US politics and a major government shutdown, global economic shifts, critical developments in India, and a look at humanity's next giant leap into space. Irohi, let's jump right into the news dominating the United States. We've seen the longest partial government shutdown in US history, causing significant disruption. What's the latest?
That's right, Arjiv. The funding lapse for the Department of Homeland Security stretched to an unprecedented 44 days, creating widespread chaos, particularly at U.S. airports. The lack of funding impacted essential services, including air traffic control and TSA operations, leading to lengthy delays and cancellations nationwide. It was a significant test of federal resilience and the patience of the traveling public.
And speaking of the Department of Homeland Security, we've also seen a leadership change there. Mark Wayne Mullen has stepped into the role of DHS Secretary. What does his appointment signify for the agency, especially in this post-shutdown environment?
Mullen faces a complex balancing act. While he's tasked with executing a public reset for the agency and restoring public confidence after the shutdown, he also needs to deliver on President Trump's agenda, which notably includes a strong focus on deportation. This dual mandate suggests a period of intense scrutiny and pressure on the new secretary as he navigates operational recovery and political directives.
So, continuity in policy despite the new face. Beyond the shutdown, the Trump administration's policies have also been under scrutiny for their impact on domestic infrastructure. Reports indicate cuts that have left rural towns vulnerable. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely, Arjiv. The administration has reportedly delayed billions of dollars earmarked for projects crucial to protecting Americans from natural disasters like floods, wildfires, and hurricanes. This has left many rural communities feeling increasingly anxious and exposed. Local leaders have voiced concerns that these funding delays are turning their towns into sitting ducks for future extreme weather events, highlighting a critical gap in preparedness and infrastructure investment. The strain on resources for emergency management agencies like FEMA has been palpable.
That's a significant concern for communities nationwide. And shifting gears slightly but remaining on domestic political sentiment, we've seen widespread anti-Trump protests recently. What's driving these demonstrations?
Protests have indeed surged nationwide, fueled by a variety of concerns. While specific catalysts vary by location, overarching themes include dissatisfaction with the administration's policies, particularly those related to social issues and, as we've just discussed, domestic spending priorities. The demonstrations reflect a significant segment of the public actively engaging in political expression. Interestingly, amid this political turbulence, there's also been a reported surge of Catholic converts in the United States, a cultural shift that stands somewhat apart from the political headlines.
An interesting counterpoint. Now, let's broaden our view to international affairs, where the Trump administration's orbit seems to be extending far beyond U.S. borders. There are reports of a covert operation in Greenland. What's unfolding there?
The situation in Greenland has certainly caught the eye of Denmark's intelligence services. Members of President Trump's inner circle have reportedly been working, quite openly in fact, to forge relationships and explore potential deals on the Danish territory. While Danish media have described it as a covert operation, it appears to be more a case of high-profile individuals pursuing opportunities in plain sight, prompting increased scrutiny from local authorities regarding the nature and intent of these overtures in a strategically important region.
That certainly sounds like a delicate diplomatic situation. And speaking of international relations, the ongoing Iran war is having ripple effects globally, impacting alliances. Spain, for instance, has taken a notable stance regarding U.S. military assets.
Yes, the intensifying Iran war has led to significant diplomatic fallout. Spain has made a decision to close its airspace to U.S. aircraft involved in the conflict. This follows an earlier move by the Spanish government to deny the U.S. use of two jointly run military bases located in Andalusia. These actions by Spain underscore the complex geopolitical dynamics at play and illustrate how the conflict is creating fissures even among long-standing allies, forcing nations to re-evaluate their positions and commitments.
The Iran war clearly has far-reaching consequences, extending into global economic stability. One of the most immediate impacts we're seeing worldwide is on oil prices. How are countries responding to this surge in fuel costs?
The war has indeed pushed gas prices near $4 a gallon in the U.S., and this is a global phenomenon. Governments worldwide are scrambling to mitigate the impact on their citizens and economies. We've seen a variety of measures introduced, from fuel rations in some countries to the introduction of free public bus services in others, all designed to limit the financial burden on consumers and businesses. These responses highlight the urgency and the diverse approaches nations are taking to cushion the shock of rising oil prices.
It's a stark reminder of how interconnected global conflicts and local economies truly are. And as energy prices fluctuate, how are the broader European markets reacting to the ongoing war and economic sentiment?
Despite the war in Iran showing no signs of abating, entering its fifth week, European stocks began the new trading week in positive territory. While overall economic sentiment remains somewhat sour due to the prolonged conflict and energy price volatility, the markets showed a degree of resilience, suggesting that investors are perhaps recalibrating expectations or finding specific sectors that are proving more robust.
A fragile optimism, perhaps, in challenging times. On the investment front, we're hearing from prominent figures like Bill Ackman, who has a rather bullish outlook despite these global headwinds. What's his take?
Bill Ackman is indeed maintaining a bullish stance, asserting that it's one of the best times in a long time to buy quality stocks. This perspective comes at a moment when markets have been significantly rattled by precisely what we've been discussing, rising energy prices and persistent inflation concerns. His view suggests a belief that current market anxieties might be creating opportunities for long-term value investors willing to look beyond immediate volatility.
An interesting counter-narrative to the prevailing caution. Shifting to the consumer economy, there's a troubling trend emerging for car buyers. What's the situation with trade-ins?
It's quite a concerning trend, Arjav. Nearly 1 in 3 car buyers, approximately 30.5%, are now underwater on their trade-ins, meaning they owe more on their current vehicle than it's worth. This is up 4.2 percentage points from a year ago. While it's still below pre-pandemic levels, analysts are calling the sheer dollar amount of this negative equity troubling, indicating that many consumers are entering new car purchases already burdened by previous debt. This reflects both inflated vehicle prices and higher interest rates.
That's a direct impact of inflation on household finances. And speaking of inflation, we have a stark statistic on the dollar's purchasing power. Can you tell us more?
Indeed. Reports indicate that a staggering 72% of the dollar's purchasing power has been eroded in just 4 distinct economic episodes. This highlights the long-term, non-linear nature of inflation and its profound impact on the value of currency over time. It's a sobering figure for consumers and savers, underscoring the persistent challenge of maintaining financial stability against inflationary pressures.
A challenging economic landscape, globally and domestically. Let's turn our attention now to India, where the NITI Aayog is highlighting a critical issue for the workforce.
The NITI Aayog has flagged a significant employability gap in India and is urging a radical shift towards outcome-based skilling reform. Their recommendation emphasizes the need for India to move away from purely degree-based qualifications and instead focus on skill-based learning outcomes. This is a push to make the workforce more aligned with industry demands and to boost overall productivity and innovation.
That's a crucial reform for a rapidly developing economy. And on the economic front, India's industrial output is showing positive signs.
Absolutely. Manufacturing continues to be a key driver, pushing India's industrial output growth to 5.2% in February. This sustained growth in the manufacturing sector is a positive indicator for the broader economy. Additionally, mining production also saw a slight improvement, growing by 3.1%, contributing to the overall industrial expansion. These figures suggest a robust momentum in India's industrial activities.
Strong numbers reflecting economic dynamism. India is also embarking on a massive logistical undertaking this week.
Yes, India is set to begin its first digital census this Wednesday. This monumental exercise will involve 30 lakh enumerators visiting 8 locations and asking 33 questions. The digital format aims to streamline data collection, improve accuracy, and provide more timely insights into the country's population, demographics, and socioeconomic indicators. It's a significant technological leap for such a large-scale national endeavor.
A fascinating update in data collection. Turning to internal security, the issue of Maoist threats remains a significant challenge in some parts of India, and there's been recent political commentary on its history.
Union Home Minister Amit Shah recently quoted former Prime Minister Manmohan Singh, who once stated that Naxalism posed a greater challenge than militancy in Kashmir and the Northeast. Shah then used this to criticize the Congress government under Indira Gandhi, implying that despite recognition of the threat, not enough was done. This political exchange underscores the long-standing and complex nature of the Maoist insurgency.
And speaking of Naxalism, there are positive developments being reported from Andhra Pradesh and Telangana.
Indeed, there's a strong push, with reports indicating that Naxalism is nearing its end in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana as the March 31st deadline approaches. Significant arrests have been made across several districts, including Krishna, Uluru, NTR, Kakinada, and Konosima, as well as in Vijayawada. These concentrated efforts by law enforcement suggest a concerted campaign to dismantle the remaining Naxalite networks in these regions.
Very important developments for internal security in India. Finally, Arohi, let's look to the future, quite literally, with NASA's ambitious plans.
NASA is making significant strides in its space exploration agenda. The first stop on their current mission is the Moon, with subsequent plans aiming for Mars. This mission isn't just about scientific discovery. It's also framed as a strategic effort, partly in response to a burgeoning space race with China. The U.S. is committing substantial time, effort, and financial resources to these endeavors, emphasizing the long-term vision of establishing a sustained human presence beyond Earth. It's a mission that signifies not only scientific ambition but also national prestige and technological leadership.
An inspiring vision for humanity's future. And bringing us back to more immediate global concerns, we have a tragic update from Nigeria.
Yes, in Nigeria, a 48-hour curfew has been imposed after a devastating attack on a bar in the city of Yosh. This initial raid tragically led to subsequent revenge attacks, with at least 22 fatalities reported so far. Yosh is one of the most volatile parts of the country, and this incident highlights the ongoing challenges with communal violence and security in the region.
A truly heartbreaking situation in Nigeria. And that brings us to the end of our news briefing today. Before we go, here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that the very first item ever sold on eBay was a broken laser pointer? It fetched $14.83 back in 1995. One person's trash, another's treasure, and the start of an e-commerce giant.
Fascinating, Arjav. A great reminder of how things begin.
It certainly is. Arohi, thank you for those insightful summaries and analysis.
My pleasure, Arjav.
And thank you for joining us on News Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the day's top stories. Until then, have a fantastic day.